And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Today, let us make them remember. We are not
Test.
Yeah, undefeated, except for electricity. It's the one that says 25. It's clear white. That's the one you got to change, probably. You know, we're doing it all on the freaking Scotch tape and glue, rubber band, and, you know, and paper clips. All right, what we're going to do this hour, we're going to talk to Benny Wills. Benny Wills is a talented individual, and I told you a little bit about him.
Recording in progress.
I told you a little bit about him in the last hour. Now, I'm going to let Benny introduce himself, but Benny Wills is a very talented individual. For years, we enjoyed him, you know, with Joy Camp, and there were so many things that went viral from that. And then, you know, he went on to, and he started off as an actor. You know, he's a Hollywood guy. He met his lovely wife, Sonia, there, and now they got children, and they're in northern Idaho. So now we're looking at, okay, you know, what's the future? And he's still got skills. He's going to make use of them. Well, he's starting to have, you know, working on a class, a webinar, pay me and I'll make you better at, called Parhesia, Parhesia. And you can find out everything at Benny Wills, BennyWills.com, BennyWills.com. Now, go ahead and introduce you for the rest of this segment. Real quick, Benny, go ahead and tell everybody what your history is and how you became aware of, and they came aware of you and the Liberty community and all the goodies you've done and where we build up to now, and then we'll talk about later and what you're working on with Black Market Fridays and your new webinar that you're working with on autonomy that you're pimping and everything. Tell me everything. Go.
Okay, Ernie. Thanks for the introduction. You gave a nice history, but I will elaborate, I suppose.
Please.
First of all, I think people should know that since I am in a
20.
I'm in a pretty small apartment here in North Idaho while our house is being built. So my baby's about 10 feet away from me, and he's getting his diaper changed. So if you hear some crying in the background, I'm sorry. But we're living in a modest setting at the moment. But yeah, so I've been involved with, truth seeking and awareness for about 10 years now. And yeah, started with Joy Camp, started with conscious comedy on YouTube with my friends when I was living in Los Angeles. And that evolved into poetry that I now perform at conferences. And I basically transitioned away from Joy Camp because I had to leave Los Angeles. So I was there with my friends, and they're all still there, and I left, and I started getting invited to conferences, and since I have a performance background, I decided to start performing instead of speaking at the conferences, and that has gone over really well, and that also has led to me being the MC for various Truth, Freedom, Liberty events in the last few years, and now I'm helping people bridge the gap between themselves and their loved ones when it comes to difficult subjects and not being labeled crazy or conspiracy theorist, and helping people have relationships with people they care about in spite of their differing viewpoints.
Tell us about Joy Camp. Was awesome. I mean, we had, you know, got a lot of, you know, entertainment out of that. And, you know, how did that start? You know, weren't you the, God, I keep thinking the whitest boys you ever saw. Was that you guys?
What was that? What was us?
Yeah, you know, there was a thing, you know, was that you? I don't know. That might have been another group. But Joy Camp had so many videos that you had to have been viral or had a lot of traffic and subscribers. What happened to that?
Well, so what happened to Joy Camp, or where did it come from?
Well, you know, talk about, you know, when it you and your friends that came together, how it grew,
yeah,
when it
okay.
started to spark off, then when and then it's gone. Why?
Yeah. Okay. Well, it came from really me not knowing how to relay ideas to people. So it became an outlet for, you know, for me to get people to understand bigger ideas, taboo subjects. So my friend Kevin and I, who had, you know, we've been going down the rabbit hole, as it were, for a long time together, and we were always able to keep a good sense of humor about everything, in spite of what we were learning. And you know, I had a performance background, and I'd been studying acting for 20 years of my life, and he was a writer and an editor, and we didn't realize for a long time that we could use our skills for the good. So we finally did. We kind of stumbled into it, made a video for fun, realized that it was really good, and thought, hey, maybe we could provide some laughter to a very to an arena that really needs some humor.
Yeah.
You know, the quote conspiracy stuff and truth can all be very heavy. So maybe we can be some comic relief. And we filled that void, and we filled it well for a few years. And it basically dissipated because I had to, you know, as my awareness grew, I had to be honest with myself and say that an acting career was not right for me in Los Angeles. So I had to leave. So it's my fault. I had to escape Los Angeles and escape California with my, well, my wife now, but then girlfriend. And I kind of left the Joy Camp guys on their own in California. So you can blame me for Joy Camp ending, but that's I had to get out of Los Angeles. That's,
why?
It's that simple.
Why?
Why?
Yeah.
Well, okay, because I was living like a double life almost. I mean, I was making the Joy Camp videos.
Well, give me the year. What year are we talking about here?
We started Joy Camp in 2012, and we really hit our stride shortly thereafter, and we made videos all the way till about, well, we made consistent content until about 2016.
Wow.
And during that time, I was making all of my money doing commercials. I became a really successful commercial actor in Hollywood, and I had some issues with that. First of all, I'd trained for essentially about 20 years to become a really good actor, only to find that the talent that I'd worked so hard to have was now being utilized to sell products that more than likely were damaging to the people who were they were intended for.
All right, wait, so stop, time out. This is where, you know, you find out who someone is. Why did you even freaking care? I mean, just show me the money, man. I don't give a crap about, you know, dead babies. I'm in Hollywood, man. You're not supposed to care about that. You know, so you're caring, that came from where? I mean, was it a parent, a grandparent, an employer?
Definitely not my parents. No, so, definitely not my parents. They wanted me to continue. It came from just an awareness. I mean, and there was a moment when, so I was in a Pizza Hut commercial that was getting, you know, was seen everywhere. I mean, everybody was seeing this commercial. It was huge. And it paid me really well because the more commercial plays, the more money you get. And I had people in the comment section of my Joy Camp videos saying, like, what are you doing, man? You're making commercials for crap, for poison, for Pizza Hut. And I was like, yeah, okay. But, you know, I don't give you crap how you make your money.
Yeah.
This is how I have money so that I can make Joy Camp videos. But I realized that they were right. I mean, I was selling myself out while also claiming to have integrity. Because of money. I thought, you know what?
Okay, we're going into break, but I want to talk, I want to delve into this more. There is a morality to everything that people does, and you're making money doing this, and you're walking away from it, you're having principles. Where the hell did that come from?
To be a part of the show, call 602-264-2800. 602-264-2800. And now, Ernest Hancock.
And Benny Wills. All right, Benny. We were getting into the good, and I wanted to make sure that, you know, the audience gets to know you. Because, you know, the thing is that you have people that are very talented and do it. That's what they, you know, that's why they go for celebrities, athletes, entertainers, you know, notable politician, you know, 4 out of 5 doctors smoke Camel cigarettes, whatever. You know, they want to have this authority or someone you support or you like, you know, for this kind of stuff. And if they don't like you, we were talking also, they're trying to cancel Tom Woods. You know, and I'm going, okay, well, gee, why would they want to do that? Because you know, they don't like what he's saying. He's being effective. He's doing, so they got to come up with some whatever the hell. But if you know someone, if you they got a reputation, they got support, you know, you got your own peeps that are, you know, giving you props. I mean, that's one way of putting it. So I got Benny Wills goes to Hollywood. He has a successful commercial career. He's making commercials. He's getting some residuals. He's making some money. And then he's like, you know, because he wants to, you know, add to humanity. He does Joy Camp. He works with other guys making videos. They go viral. A lot of these, I mean, how many gazillions of views did you guys get? And did you participate in getting any kind of reward from YouTube? Tell me about that.
Yeah, we had several videos get a lot of views. I mean, our most popular videos, unfortunately, were taken down by YouTube rather quickly. But, Joy Camp actually culminated in a pilot that we pitched to almost every major studio in Hollywood. And that was unexpected because the producer at the time, and it's funny now because I don't think that would happen if we were there now. But then, like, this is about 5 or 6 years ago, it was possibly good enough to be on network TV. So we had meetings all over town, which is a very surreal experience, having a basically a channel and a show that deals in conspiracy, but had network interest. But a producer saw the channel, loved it, and said, no one else is doing what you guys are doing. And we made this pilot. It took us about a year to do it. And we pitched it around town. We were rejected down the line, but everybody seemed to like it. They just didn't know what to do with it.
Because it didn't serve somebody subsidized advertiser, I want to be on that thing. You know, that's what it comes down to.
And I'm, you know, talking about morality during this process as well, because I was the one who kind of steered the ship with Joy Camp. I was kind of, you know, dare I say, the leader of the operation. And my only concern throughout the creation of that pilot and with the potential of it getting picked up as a series was losing the control, the creative control. I thought, there's no way I'm going to be able to get away with what I would want to say with this show if it gets picked up by, you know, Comedy Central.
It's all about the contract, editorial control, and that's the first thing they want to take.
And it was kind of a relief when it didn't work out, to be honest. And it was kind of like my swan song. So in L.A., you know, I basically, that was the last thing I really put my energy behind. And I was having meetings with the biggest studio execs in the city and having meetings at the biggest agency in the city. And then I left right after that.
You know, in your conversations with the guys, where you get a gist of if you would only, they go, well, if you'd make fun of this or promote this or be that or woke, whatever the hell, or is there some criteria? If you checked off some more boxes, they would give you more notoriety. You know, how did that work?
Yes. Well, we had, so you could see in the people that we were pitching the show to, you could see their interest grow as they were watching it. So they went in with low expectations and then by the time they were done watching it, they were impressed. And several of them wanted us to come back with another idea. They wanted to see what else we were capable of. And all I could think was, no, this is the idea. Joy Camp's it. Like, I'm not going to. I never actually go back.
See, they don't want that. They want your talent to them. They want your talent to do what they want you to do. You know, and I'm the same way. You know, a lot of times I see someone that has a lot of talent and I go, man, you could do that graphic art for this or this or this. Mm-hmm. But if they're not passionate behind it, they'll submarine you. They'll get you, you know, something else, or it won't be, or they'll have some Easter egg of screw you or whatever. They need to know if you are intellectually and socially acceptable in the mindset of moldable to do what they want. And when you're not, then you're not. So, you know, you're not. Yeah. So I'm
– Yeah, exactly.
Well, I'm wondering, you know, what you were kind of waiting for them to say, no, screw you, I'm leaving. Where'd you go?
Well, I met a girl, and
it's always so that.
But she was, you know, arguably much more successful than I was in LA, and she wasn't ready to leave necessarily when I met her, and I was. By the time I met her, I was ready to get out of there, but I reconsidered upon meeting her because I had been single for the entire time I'd been in Los Angeles until I met her, and then I gave it another about a year and a half, and by the end of a year in LA with me, she was ready to leave also. And we did, you know, we gave each other the strength that both of us needed to have the courage to get out of there and try something.
And what
new.
Was, well, what was your backup plan? You know, flipping burgers. I mean, you know, what was, you're going, I don't want to do, or you want to do it a certain way, or, you know, and
yeah,
you decided together.
We did have a plan. Well, the first seed of the idea was we really wanted to have financial independence. I mean, we both came from, you know, I don't know how to say it accurately. Like we were ignorant when it came to money, which is why I was so, you know, committed to, or I didn't realize that I could have control, or how do I say this better? I didn't even know what an entrepreneur was. Okay. I was so used to the idea of, I need to do well so that someone will hire me for the job. You know, I didn't have any concept of what it could be to, of what it means to be sort
create
of
your own
in,
job,
in the driver's seat. Yeah. So we actually, we were looking for at all the conferences that I was getting invited to. We were trying to talk to people who we respected, who were successful, and say, what's your secret? What did you do? Like, how'd you do this? And we found, first of all, that our rich friends were the most generous of all, because they're willing to share their success stories. So we started just listening to people and seeing what people had done to be successful. And we ended up being really intrigued by a friend of ours' approach to real estate. He does what he calls voluntarist real estate, where everybody wins, problem solving, you know, fix and flip real estate. And we loved the way he described it. So we literally sold everything we owned and moved away in the middle of the night and bought a travel trailer to go study with this guy and learn his ways. And then the rest is history. Like, that was it. It was like ripping a Band-Aid off. We just left. You know,
able to sustain yourself with that?
For a couple of years, yeah, we did. Yeah, we did the fix and flip real estate for a while, but we kind of took a break from it last year in 2020.
It's going to get weird. You know, this is interesting. I want to talk. I remember, but there's a lot of stuff. Music started. I don't want to lose, you know, a lot of the good story here. But I could do it in 20 seconds. It'd be really loud. You could hear it. But we'll be right back with Benny Wills. BennyWills.com. You see all the stuff he's doing. We'll get into it before the end of the show. But I find this fascinating. I want to know this story, and so do you.
Rhodes? It's the Ernest Hancock Show. Where we're going, there aren't any roads.
But there's Benny Wills, BennyWills.com. I want to focus, you know, on this aspect of your life, is that you come from, you know, maybe not super principled of poverty stricken of dysfunctional, whatever the hell, you know.
Just a little socialist.
You know, but you know, where did you get your recognition of the collectivism is bad and good and kind of, you know, libertarian, voluntarist, leave me aloneism had to come from somewhere. You had to have read a matchbook cover or something, saw a bumper sticker or something. What happened?
Well, I've always just been interested in truth, and that's the honest answer. I mean, starting in like third grade, I've always wanted to know what's really going on, and, you know, that's where the path led me. And I really started understanding, I think, what you just asked about collectivism and individualism and stuff like that, from speeches at conferences, I was really inspired by a speech that G. Edward Griffin gave about collectivism back at Anarchapulco in, I think, 2018, maybe. And I realized that I was, really ignorant when it came to wealth and finance, and I realized that I'd come from a pretty socialist background. Because, you know, up into my early 30s, I was still blaming money for everything. And I realized along the way that that was a trap as well. So, yeah, I don't know. I've never been offended by information. I've always sought out more perspective. And
well, let's talk about that a little bit. You know, if the generation, oh my God, next of commie, sochi, whatever the hell's going on, you know, if they were exposed to what, they would come around. And see, it takes a moral person to, or some kind of standard or goal, you know, like truth. I mean, why would you even want the truth? Is that a genetic thing? Because a lot of people, you know, you talk to them, they don't want to know the truth. They just want to wear their club's T-shirt. I mean, you know, they want to be left alone, and they think they know it. And you could tell how much they watch Facebook and the 3x5 card or whatever was given to Rush Limbaugh, you know, or whatever Trump or Q says in, you know, at the cocktail party. I mean, you can sit there and it's almost not worth giving your opinion. I mean, you give your opinion, leave me aloneist and walk off, you know, so you don't get in an argument. But it's, what do you think it takes for them to break free like you did? Is it something earlier, something more genetic? Is it something more primal, and they're just looking for the truth? I mean, because what made you want the truth? You see my point? There has to be a genesis of something.
Trust me. Oh, man, trust me. I've contemplated that so much over the past 10 or 15 years, because I don't know what it is that keeps people from wanting to seek more truth. I am who I am, and I know my instincts are pretty natural, and it's surprising to me that more people aren't interested in truth, and it always has. My whole life, I've wondered why people get offended by other perspectives, you know? So I don't think I'm special, you know? I think I'm, you know, I'm just a regular guy. I just happen to have a high threshold for information. But I don't know what keeps people locked in. I think it's just heavy indoctrination and unwillingness to question why people know.
Yeah,
what
but
they
see,
know.
Why the unwillingness? See, I always go why till I find the answer. You know, one of the things is that I really, it was telling when they did the NPC thing. Non-participating characters, like your video right. game with the blank face stuff. Yeah. When that started coming up, man, the left, the progress, the whatever movement of whatever the hell, freaked them out. Anybody that promoted that concept of we are not, man, they freaked out. And I go, whoa, yeah. Got a little too close to the mark, did we? You know, that's what they want. That's what they need. They just want an army of something. Who's they? They, them, those won't leave me alone as close as I can get, but who do you think they are? You were in Hollywood, man. Spill it.
Man, that's so funny. I have a poem called They.
Ah!
I think they is more of a, well, it's like an energetic force that you can see a lot of the people who are the ones who you could call they, but it's like, it feels like it's an infection of the mind, and it makes people do things that are very counter humanity. but the specifics of they, gosh, that's tough, man.
They won't leave you alone. They, you know, that's what I always say all the time. The audience, they go, you know, they, who are they, conspiracy tinfoil hat wearer? And I go, you want, and I started right when I started doing radio in 03. People go, they, who are they, you conspiracy, what are you, an anarchist? I go,
I know, Well, like I said, I wrote a poem to address that.
Give me a little stanza here, man. Show me some.
Here, let me pull it up real quick. I don't have it memorized. So let me just.
Well, while you do that, you'll see. My thing is, I go, you know, that's a good question. Who are they? They're, you know, those that just want to be left alone, and those that just won't leave them alone. That, you know, boom, they, you know, they, them, those, yep. The T3. So you work that into your black market thing. That'd be awesome. Go.
You want to hear? Okay.
I'm just yakking to get you ready. Go.
Here we go. They are ruthless. They are heartless. They don't care about our health. They are greedy. They are seedy. They rob us of our wealth. They deceive us. They mistreat us. They numb us with TV. They mislead us. They disease us. They say obedience is key. They put poison in the water. They put poison in the air. They put poison in the food supply. Then they tell us that they care. They peddle pills to millions. They push debts into the trillions. They scare us. They impair us while they carpet bomb civilians. They teach us life is meaningless. They tell us all is random. They say have faith in scientists and authority in tandem. They are ubiquitous. They seem omnipresent. They control the past from perches present. They plot and plan and scheme in secret. Exploitation, their great achievement. The puppeteering invisible all-seers, the profiteering racketeers of fear, the cult of death to which mankind adheres, they are behind it. But who is they? Satanists, Zionists, globalists, socialists, people who script the news, Freemason, Disney, Jesuits, the Vatican, NASA, Netflix, the Jews, bankers, aliens, the Clintons, the Queen, the Rothschilds, Henry Kissinger, Crown Council of 13. It doesn't really matter, because the solution to they is we, us and you and me. They are pathological. They are pitiful. They are diabolical. They are miserable. They are wicked beings living wickedly, and their punishment is their wickedness.
We know who they
That's
is now.
Who they are.
We know they. We got a beat on them. Okay, good job, man. You know, this is. I think that. When did you write that? Yesterday?
I wrote that about 2 years ago.
Before the pandemic.
Before.
You know, is there a, if I go to BennyWills.com, do I get a lot of the recordings or is it printed? You got a book on Amazon?
The book is in the works. And for now, a lot of the poems are in video form, basically of me doing them at various events and conferences on my YouTube channel, my BitChute channel, my Brighteon channel, my Odyssey channel.
So you know, think of this. When we promote, you know, this kind of stuff, we put it in our, I should have showed you one of our newspapers. In there, instead of hyperlinks, because it's a printed page, we put QR codes that go where you would have a hyperlink. So throughout, you know, your thing, if you had your book, make sure you put a QR code in there that goes to IPFS so it never goes away, that you know, they click on that and they get the video. You know, so the book is interfaced with the internet. Ha, 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 ha. You know? Yep. Yeah. We're going into break. We're going to, you know, one more. We're going to be talking about what we're working on with Benny Wills when we come back in a little bit. Go check it out. BennyWills.com. Will they get anything? Are they going to get some links to videos? Are they going to get a book? What?
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
And Teague Wills in the background saying what's up.
Oh, yeah, you can hear him.
Oh, he's awesome. That kid is so cool. You know, and and Sonia are so great with him, parents. And these are good people. So we're going to support Benny Wills, and we're going to give him a lot of attention because he's going to do us a solid and do the Black Market Fridays promo, and we're going to launch, ready or not, July 2nd, it's going to start getting going, you know, just build, and this is one of those time and pressure things. People, when they want to launch a big launch, excuse me, Donna gave me some chicken, you have a big launch, and you want to have, you know, the super celebrities of yada, 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 nah, I don't care. And they'll come out of the woodwork supporting the concept to benefit them or to benefit humanity because they want to, which is what Benny's doing. He's like, look, man, yeah, you know, this is good. I want to help. And then, of course, we'll promote, you know, his stuff and everything. And, you know, we all benefit and freedom marches on a tapestry of leave me aloneism. I'm hip, you know. So This evolved into Parhesia. Tell me what that word means, why you selected it, what you're offering. You've already been doing this. Tell us everything, Benny.
Okay, so Parhesia is a word that's been somewhat lost in our lexicon, and it literally means free speech. I mean, the actual definition is to speak freely or boldly, and I caught wind of this word, and I loved it. So I decided to name my course on communication, Parhesia, because we need Parhesia. We need to be able to speak freely and boldly.
Well, where does that come from? I mean, is it you know, Navajo or Latin or what? I mean, what
is it? It's probably Latin, I'm assuming, but I'm not exactly sure. Actually, you know what? It comes from Greece. I'm looking it up right now. It's an ancient Greek word, Parhesia.
All right, very cool. So tell us about your course.
Yeah, well, you know, throughout it's something that came out of what happened during 2020. I noticed glaringly that, well, let's face it. I mean, the lines of division are being drawn thicker than ever. And the polarization, the censorship, and not just censorship from, you know, YouTube, but from our family is worse than ever. So I'm helping people communicate so that they can still have relationships with people that they care about, even if they have different points of view and different opinions. And I'm helping people broach difficult subjects with those same people so that they don't end up being called crazy or conspiracy theorist or fill in the blank. So I'm helping people become more empowered, confident, and nuanced communicators, because I really believe that divided we fall. So I'm helping people bridge the gap, build bridges of communication.
Yeah, you're doing it wrong, man. I thought you were supposed to divorce your parents at Thanksgiving or something.
No way. Everyone I know has lost touch with someone they care about because they have a differing viewpoint. And I just think that's tragic. So that's the need I'm trying to fill. So I'm trying to help people not lose touch with those people that they care about because the TV says they're supposed to not be friends anymore. You know,
so it's happened in the.
I'm really passionate about this.
It's happened in the libertarian community too, or the voluntarist community, and it comes around. You know, the mind wash on vaccines. You know, they go, oh no, if you don't love grandma, you know, you're violating, you know, it's an aggression, non-aggression principle, and you're aggressing because you're shedding filthy, stinking, you know, vaccine or a virus on me. I'm kind of, you know, I mean, libertarian hardcore anarchist taking that position, you know. Well, I said, well, fine, you know, peace, do what you want, don't come over, whatever, I don't, and they deal with these people, and I know what their position, I understand your position, but don't care, and I need this, and buy that, and going to do this, are you willing to serve or be part of or not? Not, okay, well, we're done on that, and it's not that I end the relationship, oftentimes they do. But I'm always the open door, and if you do it right, like what you're talking about, and not cause them to dig a deeper foxhole and pile up sandbags, they'll come back, and they'll go, you know, you were kind of right, or, you know, you weren't a jerk about it. You know, they may alter, or you start seeing them a little cry, yeah, they kind of went overboard on this, and so on. So what's your technique? What? Give me an example.
Well, you have to... I think the key is to establish a rapport with the person. So you have to get on the same page. Not only get on the same page, but you have to show the person that you have shared values, that you care about the same thing. Not that you care about the topic you want to talk about, but that you actually care about the same values. You have to establish that first so that they can trust you. You have to establish trust in the conversation with the person. Even if it's someone you've known for your whole life, you still have to establish trust. You may think it's already there, but it's not these days. We are dealing in we're in such divisive, polarized times that people, unless you agree with them, a lot of times 100%, they're going to be suspicious of you. So you have to show them that you care. You have to show them that you have a similar value system before you can engage further. I think that's step one, and then letting them be the ones who explain more than you. You know, knowing when to pull back. Let them explain. You know, in a way, it's like. I talk about this over 10 weeks. So this is, I'll give you the really short answer, but you have to.
Damn, 10 weeks. Holy crap. Give me the bumper sticker, man.
let them give them the space to explain their point of view, because oftentimes they haven't thought about it. They emotionally feel what they think is right, but they actually haven't thought about why they think what they think. So if you're gentle and you ask questions and you don't get too emotional and you steer the conversation, you can allow them to discover why they believe what they believe. And oftentimes they will just not have legs to stand on because there hasn't been any critical thinking applied to their opinion.
Well, a lot of times it's in a group setting. It's a party. It's an outing. It's a something. And, you know, they show up with their triple mask and they want to explain it to you and give your whatever. And you're challenged. And a lot of times, hey, man, you know, it's got me out of a lot of things other than being middle-aged fat white boy, you know, and just invisible. But I go, you know, I just want to be leave me aloneist. You know, I just want to be left alone. You can't do. I go, well, you know, then I guess we can, you know, not associate, or you can protect. I mean, you, as fast as you can make your claim, state your position, and you're probably not going to be altered from it. Or, and then you just ask questions and you try not to amp it up. Where a lot of times these guys, they're the loudest voice to scream. And I go, really, you want to play this? Who you think you're talking to? I can always talk louder. I can always talk more. I can go 15 levels deep, but that doesn't necessarily, you know, make you win. You just show that they're being unreasonable. They don't really know, because they go three deep.
Careful. You know, all that takes such nuance, because you don't want to get them. The whole point is, like, put out the fire. You don't want to fan the flames.
So they're ready to be. Hell, they got a blowtorch going from the beginning. They walk in with a torch. You know,
right?
You gotta learn how to take
even more finesse. You gotta ask yourself what you want. What do you want from the conversation? Are you trying to get them to change their mind? Are you trying to get them to back off of you? Like, every situation is different.
It's the argument for the benefit of the audience. That is, you know, so you're not going to change them. It's for the benefit of the audience.
Well, if it's in front of a crowd, sure. Yeah, that's why the course is called Parhesia, the Art of Communication. It just, every situation requires a slightly different dynamic. So it's knowing how to read the situation, read the person, read the room, so that you know how to engage accordingly. You know, there's different ways to approach all kinds of situations.
You know, at Red Pill, Benny was dinner entertainment, and you went on for, God, at least 40 minutes or something. And he had an explanation why he'd do, you know, a poem and perform that. And it would be, God, you did probably four or five. I mean, it was, you know.
Yeah, I did a whole set.
And I was like, damn. I'm like, okay, I got entertained. That was worth every penny. So it was, how many poems do you have? And then you're working on a book. You know, I'll slap you around right there. What the hell, man? What are you waiting on?
Well, that's my fault. Yeah, I basically have to just get it done. It's been in the works for a long time, and I just keep writing new poems, so it's hard to stop saying, okay, this is where after this poem, this is when the book is going to be published. I just need to get it done. I never published a book before, so it's...
Yeah, it's a homeschool Teague. By the time he's 6 or 7, you'll finish it, and he can do it. You know, the world according to my dad.
My next book will be a children's book. This, after going with this poetry book, that's when I'm going to shift over to either children's poetry or just children's.
Awesome! Awesome!
Gives me that kind of need new material.
Yeah, I got 4 kids, 12 grandkids. I'm like, you know, man, hell yeah. If Kamala can do it, Camel Lady can do it. Holy crap! Now we're going into the end of the show. Go ahead and give out whatever information you want. Say it loud and proud. You know, your website, everything. Go.
Yeah, well, you've been saying it all along. BennyWills.com. You can find everything you need there.